Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to River Cafe Table 4, a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios.
Okay, let's get the show on the road, shall we? David Beckham. Okay. So she's head chef. What are you? Everything. Okay.
Whatever you want me to be.
Want a job?
It was.
Beckham?
I would love a job. I need a job at the
moment,
actually. I'm not busy enough.
So I'm here today with Sean Winnowen, the head chef in the River Cafe, and my friend David Beckham. And it's now 20 to 6, and people are coming in soon. So the two of you better get going. What are you going to make?
We are making tagliatelle.
You happy with that, Chef?
I'm more than happy with that.
Okay. Chef David.
Okay,
that's Chef David is going to cook this.
I've been called worse.
Okay. There we go. Right. Give it a really good shake. Yeah, shake it, shake it.
There we go.
And a bit of parsley.
There we are.
What do you like cooking at home, David?
What do I like cooking at home?
Well, do you cook at home?
To be honest, my kids are obsessed with Italian food.
If I'm they love it.
So, majority of the time, they get me to make like a ragu.
Yeah.
Because the kids love
so
ragu.
I could tell when you were shaking the pan that you weren't just a novice.
Quite impressive.
Well, you made it. Oh, yeah.
Am I hired?
Are we done?
Is it hard? Yes, I think we could turn him into quite a useful chef, and he has done a cooking course, it transpires.
Mm. One job?
In Milan,
I know.
I'm really impressed by that, actually.
So that was good. Now it's time to talk. Stop eating and we'll talk.
Can I take it with me?
Yeah, you can finish. Why don't you sit down and eat it?
I'll take it with me.
You want to sit down and eat it?
Okay. We'll take it with us.
Okay. We have an open kitchen, and one of the great pleasures for me is being able to see the reaction of people eating. You know, whether they love it or they don't love it, whether they share it or they don't share it, whether they talk about it, you know, it's part of the whole joy of eating out. And I love open kitchens.
You know, I like the interaction that you can have with, you know, what's going on around you. You know, I like to see what the chefs are doing. I like to see what's being prepared. To be honest, I've been so lucky because I lived in Spain for 4 years. Then I moved to America. Then I spent 11 months in Italy. And then I was back in America, and then I moved to Paris for 6 months. So I had all of this kind of education in, you know, living in different places, eating different foods, trying different things. You know, when I was living in Paris, I was, again, Victoria and the kids were going to school in London, so they obviously couldn't live there with me. They'd come out at the weekends. So again, one of my favorite restaurants in the world is L'Ami Lui.
Yeah, don't we? I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
It is literally, I would say it's probably one of my favorite restaurants in the world.
I agree.
For atmosphere, food, enjoyment, everything about it. You know, from the moment I walked in and, you know, all the waiters are dressed in those white jackets. And whether you're wearing a bomber jacket or whether the most elegant lady walks in a Chanel coat, they take your coat off, they fold it up, and they throw it above the head on the railing.
It's like a train carriage, isn't it?
It's like a train carriage. And my record for eating escargot is I've eaten 32 escargots at one dinner.
To the listener, can I tell you, those are big escargot. I've had them many times.
They're big, and they come on trays of 6 or 9, I think, and they come. And I was in there for about 4 hours with Victoria once, and we had the most amazing wine and everything about that restaurant. And I used to go in there, and I shouldn't have done, because obviously I was a professional athlete, and, you know, I tried to watch what I eat, but I just made sure I ran harder the next day. So I used to go in there once a week, They used to let me come in. At first, the service was at 7:30, I think it was, in the evening. And that was, no one was there at 7:30 either. So I used to turn up at 7. And by the time the first people were coming through the door at around 8:15, I was walking out. So I used to do that once a week. I used to go on my own. I didn't care that I was on my own. I just didn't drink the wine, but I just sat there and I ate the most amazing food.
Yeah, I love it. And the pommes frites, the little potatoes and the potatoes.
The bread and everything about it. It's just unbelievable. Creme fraiche at the end.
Yeah.
They bring that tub of creme fraiche out and they just dollop it on the plate. And
the tartatin.
The small strawberries.
One of the high points of my career is, you know, the head waiter there, the one with the black hair.
Yeah.
He's not called Louis. I can't remember his name. And he came to the River Cafe for lunch
amazing.
With his family, with his wife and his children. And it was really such a moving experience for me to have them here. So you actually had the experience of living in Milan.
In Milan,
Paris,
Madrid.
And Madrid.
Yeah, so I lived in Madrid. When I first moved to Spain, I was 27 years old and I lived there for 4 years. And I became really obsessed by wherever I would live in the world. I decided in my head, okay, this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Because I had to look at it like that, because I wanted to throw myself into the culture, into the language, into the food, into everything that I was doing in that country. So Spain was a big, you know, food kind of family kind of culture. You know, For a start, I couldn't believe how long the lunches went on for. You know, we'd start lunch at 2 and still be sat there at 7. And then they'd go for a sleep and then we'd come back and have dinner at 11 and I'd be like falling asleep at dinner. But I loved everything about Spain, you know, from the jamón to the lomo to, you know, to everything that I ate in Spain, I loved. Bacebes.
What's that?
It's the barnacles.
Huh.
And you put them in hot boiling water, not for long.
Yeah.
And then you kind of twist the end off. And it's very chewy, but very salty. So they're called bacebes. They're barnacles. And they're very difficult to get. Literally, the guys tie themselves onto the side of these rocks. They then wait for the waves to go out. They go down, get them, and then come back up before the wave comes in. So it's quite dangerous. And still now, every time that I go to Spain, every time that I go to Madrid, I always come back with a leg of jamón.
Do you?
Yeah. Always. Yeah. It goes in the middle of the kitchen island, and every time that the kids walk past, they slice
nice.
A piece
it's
off.
Nice.
So, it's, yeah.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But how was it being an athlete with a discipline? How did you marry your passion for food with the discipline of having to be absolutely fit for a game? Did food affect you? Did you eat a certain diet?
To be honest, I was lucky. Food never really affected me. But I did, you know, as much as I am sat here saying, you know, the creme fraiche, the escargot, the, you know, everything that I've talked about, I still try to eat in the most healthy way. Because obviously being an athlete, I have to eat in the right way. But then I think the dietary requirements now for athletes, especially in football, have totally changed over the last 20 years.
In what way?
You know, when I first joined Manchester United, you know, the canteen was all about having steak and chips and beans, and then you'd have a jam roly-poly, or you'd have a slice
Before
of
a
chocolate cake. No, like after training.
Okay.
So you'd have a slice of chocolate cake with chocolate custard. But now it's totally different.
Now it's totally different.
Now, well, it depends where you play, what manager, you know, you're playing under. You know, there were certain managers that would only want us to eat boiled chicken, which disgusting, but that's how they felt that we should be eating, you know, no ketchup.
High protein.
No, you know, and then you have the opposite. When I was living in Milan, I was kind of thinking, how am I going to be fitness-wise? Because I'm going to be eating a lot of pasta, a lot of olive oil, a lot of, you know, whatever. But it was actually one of the fittest that I'd ever been in when I was playing in Milan, because I think the produce is so clean, it's so good. The quality of it was just incredible. So over the years, it's definitely changed for sportsmen. You know, I've been lucky that I could kind of eat whatever I wanted. But I've always been careful, knowing that I can't have a glass of wine 4 days before a game, because I don't want it to affect anything that I'm doing at the weekends, even though it was only a glass, you know, so I'd always be very disciplined on that.
And do you think that athletes now are much more?
Very.
Yeah.
I think that that's part of the culture now. I think if you start it early enough, then it becomes part of your life and part of your culture. It's what we try and do with our kids. You know, we try to educate them that, you know, if they eat the right things and drink the right things and look after themselves now, you know, at such a young age, then they'll continue it through their lives. And I think it's an important part of life.
It's education, isn't it? And I guess I could ask you a question of George Best, couldn't I, about one of my great memories is of the park. Was it Parkinson?
Yeah.
And the two of you there. And I think, you know, I probably fell in love with you that night because you were so respectful and so generous to him that, you know, I think there was a point in the interview, I don't even know when that was, but Richard and I watched where Parkinson asked you a question and you said, I'm in the presence of, you know, this man and I think we should let him talk. Yeah. And that was very, very moving to me. But he wasn't really taken care of, was he, in the way?
No,
that-
but I think that he was part of a culture, you know, and I was part of really the start of my career, of a culture that was totally different to what is right now and these days, you know. But, you know, George was the most amazing player, the most amazing talent, and the most amazing person. And as well, you know, I think that I felt so honored to even be sat, you know, on the same sofa next to him, you know, in his presence. And he's such a special person. And he was, you know, he was one of my dad's heroes. My dad was always a Bobby Charlton fan.
Yeah.
But obviously George Best, you know, he's a Manchester United fan at the end of the day, my dad. Yeah. So having me on the same program as George Best probably was one of the highlights for my dad.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my most favorite restaurants is in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And it's this old pizza place that's been there for a long time called Lucali's.
Lucali's, yeah. Okay.
And it's run by Mark, and he owns Lucali's. And it's just simple pizzas. He doesn't sell any alcohol in there. So you turn up and he brings these amazing mussels out, amazing clams. He makes this spicy rigatoni, and then he brings the pies. They call them pies. And I always take like a great bottle of wine because I love eating pizza with great wine.
Yeah.
I do like to go to fancy places from time to time, but I'm more about the family style, you know, sitting there, great atmosphere. You know, it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be the most expensive meal in the world, doesn't have to be the most amazing bottle of wine in the world. Just has to be good people around the table, good food, and, you know, atmosphere is important.
That's it. When we thought, when we opened the River Cafe, there was this feeling in the 80s that you either had the choice of eating really, really well, but being terrified of that you were dressed in well enough, that you might be late, that you might insult the chef, that you didn't know the wine, the sommelier might make you feel stupid, but you would have a good meal, or you could go to the local and have a fantastic atmosphere, but maybe not the greatest food. And it wasn't just Rose and myself. There was Alice Walters, and there was Rollie Lee and Wolfgang Puck, and there was a whole generation that said, why can't we do both? You know, I don't want a dress code in my restaurant, but I want to serve really good food. And I don't want an intimidating wine waiter, but I want to have really great wine, you know, that you could have both, and that you can have fun and have the drama and eat really well.
Well, I think that's what's so special about here, in all honesty. You know, I think the atmosphere, you know, you're going to always eat great.
Oh, thank you.
The menu is constantly changing. You're not intimidated. Whereas, you know, I suppose in the early days where I wasn't used to going to great restaurants or eating great food or drinking great wine, I suppose there was a certain part of me that felt intimidated. But this is a place where you walk in and there's not one part of you that feels worried about ordering a bottle of wine or ordering a glass of wine or ordering the wrong wine, or, you know, it's special.
I know what I want the people who work for me, how I want them to to eat and how I want to make them come to work in an environment where they can look out a window, where they can feel that they're rested, you know, in the end, where they want to come to work. Do you feel that that is a responsibility of people who are in management?
Without a doubt. You know, I think that I've been lucky over the years to have been part of some great teams, you know, obviously with the teams that I've played for, playing for my country, representing my country. Yeah, I've been very lucky to be around great management, great teams, great support, you know, with my family, my friends. And now I have my own team within my own office and I want them to be as happy, you know, as they are at home and when they come to work. I think that's a really important part of running a business. And I tried to do the same, and Victoria tries to do the same with the kids as well. You know, we want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy.
Do they cook with you?
They do.
They do.
Brooklyn actually loves cooking. He posts a lot at the moment about things that he's making, things that he's creating. But all the kids actually love it.
Love to
You know, and I think in the last 18 months with all the lockdown and everything that has been happening, you know, whether we were baking, whether we were, you know, creating herb gardens, me and Harper, you know, built our own herb garden, you know, with whether it was Rocket and we had some mint and we had some rosemary. So we'd kind of created that. And actually we got very excited when we saw it all come together. And then, you know, every time that Nana has a gin and tonic, you know, Harper goes out into the herb garden, she cuts some rosemary off and puts rosemary into the glass. So it's we had a little bit of fun with that.
We've, you know, talked about so much about food as love, as food as a connection. But I suppose before we say goodbye and I go, what would be, David Beckham, your comfort food?
After me talking about all of this great food that I taste and all of these great restaurants that I go to, you know what my comfort food would be? A packet of salt and vinegar discos.
Good.
I think that's what it would be. And maybe a toasty made in the Breville toaster with baked beans.
Tell me about that. What is that?
So the Breville toaster that you... So I put the bread in.
Did you butter it first or not?
A little bit of butter on the outside, actually. On the outside. So it doesn't stick. And then I put the baked beans in, Breville toaster for about 4 or 5 minutes, open it up and it's...
So that
and a packet of Discos, no cheese.
Discos,
baked beans, I know. All right. After all this great food that we talked about.
No, but that's
what
comfort is, isn't it? You know, comfort is the
I'm
food
more of a crisp man than a chocolate.
That makes you feel like it. Well, thank you, David.
Thank
it was wonderful.
Rufy. Thank you for having
Love
me.
You.
You're welcome. Love you too.
To visit the online shop of The River Cafe, go to shoptherivercafe.co.uk.
River Cafe Table 4 is a production of iHeartRadio and Atomize Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on
people that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Right? Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.